Reading. After I knew Scott, my dearest brother, was going to die, I tried to spend as much time as possible with him. I was happy to be able to help him as a doctor as well as his brother. My goal was to love him the best I could each day that was left in his life. While Scott was still in Seattle, I had to leave Seattle to give a speech at a conference for a few days. I felt so bad about being away from him, even though it was a very important job. I also had to go to Washington, D.C. the next weekend for a friend's wedding. Washington, D.C. was the area where Scott and I spent important times together in our childhood. I thought it was a good idea to invite him to join me on the trip to Washington, D.C. I called Scott and asked him if he liked the idea. He did. I immediately sent him an airline ticket, and we were both so excited to be together in one of our childhood cities. On the day of his arrival, I waited for him at the airport with his favorite cousin, Julie, who lives in Washington, D.C. She is a flight attendant. She was planning to surprise him by being at the gate to greet him as he got off the plane. It was a big success. He was overjoyed by the surprise. On that evening, we went to a wonderful dinner together and then talked into the night. The next day, Scott and I went to see our old house where we had grown up. We passed the baseball fields we played on together. He told me stories I had long since forgotten. We talked and talked. We did not want the day to end. He said to me, "Thank you for taking care of me." I could not help crying. Neither could he. The next morning, I had to say goodbye to him. I was taking an early flight to Seattle, and he was leaving a few hours later to take a flight to his home. I was very worried about him when I left. He always took his temperature twice a day, as his oncologist asked him to do. That morning, his temperature was 99.1. That was high for early in the morning. Before I left, I hugged him and told him I loved him. I kept texting him until I got on the plane, reassuring myself that he would be okay. But what is okay in a person who is dying of cancer? Another week? A month? A half year? I was afraid that I would never see my brother again. 1 week later, we got a 4:30 a.m. call from his friend. She said he had collapsed in the early morning. She then told me that he had seized at home and the paramedics were with him then. She mentioned something about a cardiac arrest, but he seemed awake and I could hear him talking on the other end of the phone. I immediately got an airline ticket and headed to the airport to fly to his city to be with him. I wanted to be with him, and that was the only thing I thought I could do. On the way to the airport, my phone rang. It was the ICU doctor of the hospital where Scott had been sent by ambulance. "Is this Doug Paw? You know your brother isn't going to survive. He is septic and is going to die. I just need for you to confirm that we should not resuscitate him." Scott had been already intubated. I asked them to support him until I arrived, as I wanted to be with his son when my brother died. I was upset by the cold tone of the doctor. For him, there was no concern for what it was like to lose a loved one. The only concern for the doctor was with getting his work done. I realized, in this sad moment, how happy I was with what I was doing with my life. I would not teach my students to be like this doctor. I promised myself that I would teach my students what matters most, reminding them we are all the same. We have loved ones, people who mean everything to us. As medical professionals, we are privileged to care for these precious ones. Scott passed away 20 minutes before my plane landed. I couldn't be with him when my beloved brother died. It was such a painful and traumatic experience. I entered a world of loss. I also entered a newfound appreciation for what matters most as a medical professional.